Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark. And it's a scene with the disciples in which they witness a miracle happening. And so much of the Gospels focuses on the interactions of the disciples. And some even say that it's a story of the disciples tattletaling and witnessing and saying, "Jesus, is what they're doing right?" So let's have a listen. A reading from Mark. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the quenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This has been such a difficult week for many of us. As many in our church family, in our church community, so many of us are experiencing transitions and difficult seasons in our lives, recovering from surgery, or dealing with new or returning ailments and sickness, and even grieving the loss of dear friends and families in our midst here today. It truly has been hard. This week I've been reminded of our church community, the story and struggle of our experience together, especially an Asian American church family, that we have each other's back, that we're not just there for each other, but we pray for each other, and that we're present. And I know, Pearl, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was so encouraged when Tara had mentioned to me that you had gone to the hospital. And then even before I had arrived, word from your small group, Lorraine, Anne, had already contacted people in your small group in love, making sure that you were covered in prayer. And it was a blessing and a testimony and witness to me and to all of us that we need each other. And how we witness in love, grace, and compassion through the way that we are there for each other and the way that we extend care. Even when we've reached the point of not being able to carry our burdens alone. I've been reminded this week that we're sensitive to each other's experiences, sensitive to each other's needs, and being there, holding each other in prayer, family together. Our hearts truly break for many of us going through these difficult and hard seasons. It has also been a horrifying week for many of our sisters, as many of us been glued to the TV, online, a difficult and painful week for women. As we listen to testimony from Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh before the Senate Judiciary Committee this past week, it's the talk. Everyone's been talking about it throughout the week and even at BLT. The images have been ingrained in our minds. The image that comes to mind for me is Dr. Ford just standing there with her hand extended, raising her right hand, swearing to tell the truth as she shared her story and testimony of the assault that took place when she was a high school student. This past week's events are reminders of the reality of experiences of women, that so many women have long suffered and continue to suffer traumatic experiences of assault. It's one thing to hear and listen to the story and testimony of women who speak of assault. And we've been reminded the importance of listening to others' stories, but that we need to do more than just listen, but that we need to stand up and believe women who have the courage to stand up. They're wake-up reminders to us that assault and rape are real, that trauma is real, that we need to be people who believe victims who come forward. I've been reminded that we need to stop blaming people, stop blaming survivors of assault. Our identity as a church, a historically Japanese-American church, a strong faith and community center for Japanese immigrants, is very much so the identity of Asian American struggle, a community that stands up against racist and discriminatory hiring practices, that stands up against gentrification of historically Asian American neighborhoods, and stands up against racism. Because of this identity, we often stand up and identify with those who are being victimized, those who are being oppressed or pushed down. But when we deal with more difficult topics like sexual assault or male privilege, sometimes it's difficult for us to be sensitive, understanding, or even open or accepting of those who hold a different perspective or conviction than our very own. In conversations throughout this week, people are torn. There are people who believe Dr. Ford and stand with her. Those wanting to support her story. And then there's many who identify with Judge Kavanaugh, claiming that he's being treated so unfairly, being too quickly labeled guilty without due process. And it's in this tension that exists even in the church, even in faith communities, even those who believe that politics or what's happening in the news shouldn't be part of the faith conversation, those who might think that this shouldn't play into seeking of how we should live our lives to be disciples of Christ. But then there are some of those who believe that, yes, this conversation is very much so relevant to how we live our lives as disciples of Christ. Sometimes as followers of Christ, we're quick to label others, quick to judge others, and in doing so, isolate ourselves and close ourselves to the differences and perspectives of others. In this passage, Jesus' disciples are confronted with this. When they come across and see someone who's casting out demons in Jesus' name, even trying to stop him, saying, because he's not following us. They go to Jesus telling him, he's not one of us. He's not one of us. They were so against him. Even if that person was doing good work in casting out demons in people to live whole lives. But how did Jesus respond to the disciples when they were complaining? Jesus said, don't stop him. If they are doing good work in the world, don't stop them. Support him. This passage is a reminder for us as we meet, as we engage other people in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our families, through our friendships that are engaged in the work of helping and encouraging people, that are uplifting people. Christ says to us, don't judge them, don't stop them, work with them, encourage them, partner with them. I can't believe that the bazaar is already around the corner, that it's this coming Saturday. For friends and family that are visiting, the bazaar is one of our annual events in which we host hundreds, dare I say close to 1,000 people through the door? No, hundreds of people through the door, connected to our church community and the neighborhood, friends, colleagues, coworkers, where we open up our doors, provide meals for people to enjoy the feast of Japanese food and even lumpia this year. We're frying up lumpia this year. But it's a place for us to be and to extend love and radical hospitality in the neighborhood. So it asks us, this passage asks us, how can we live out this hospitality out in the life of the bazaar? My hope is that as we reconnect with our friends in the community, through this week of bazaar preparation, through our interactions with each other as we're prepping, with our friends and relatives on the day of bazaar that we see and interact with, that we would truly be a community that provides radical, Christ-like hospitality. That this hospitality would shine through in our conversations. Our conversations that we truly seek to understand folks that are different than us, that we truly try to seek to understand the experiences and perspectives of others, even in the ones that hold different political, theological, and social perspectives than us. And even though that we may disagree with folks, that this radical hospitality be reflected in how we are friends with others, that we would truly see the value in all people, knowing that all are children of God. So a couple of questions for us to ponder this week. Let us ask ourselves, who are those people that are not a part of this community that we are being called to welcome, to be more open to, and to better understand? Who are the people within our personal lives, in our friendships, in our families, that we are often unwilling to hear, or often unwilling to welcome or understand? I listen closely to the things that Emma and Jonah say. Each and every week, it's something new. What are the things that they're asking for? What are the things that they're expressing? What are the things that they're wanting and desiring? Emma, being so curious, is asking questions about everything and learning how to copy everything that we say. She learns a new phrase, comprehends it, practices it, and uses it. But lately, she's been expressing her fear and being afraid and saying, "Daddy, I'm afraid." When we're sitting at the dining table, she always wants to be in the middle, saying, "Daddy, I'm afraid. I don't want to be at the end. Put me in the middle. Put me in the middle." Even when we're in the kids' bedroom, Jonah and Emma share a room, and as we're putting them to bed, Emma never wants to be at the end, but White wants to be right in the smack middle of being between Jonah and me and Sarah. "Daddy, put me in the middle." I've been reminded this week that we're so afraid with all the things that we're facing. But the good news, friends, is that God is with us. Know that God has your back, that God is a comforting God that seeks to come close, not only wanting to sit across from you, but right next to you. That God utters these words, "Do not be afraid, because I am with you. Do not be afraid, because I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will hold you with my righteous, strong hand." Let us pray. God of love and God of mercy, thank you for being a good God who loves us so tenderly. Thank you, God, for showering us with your grace in our lives. Thank you, O God, for reminding us that we are not alone on this journey. That when we're afraid, you come right beside us. Help us, O God, to be open to differences, differences of perspective, differences of experience, and different ways of living and being. Help us, O God, to see Christ in others, recognizing all the good that's been done in the world. Encourage us, O God. Empower us to be your witnesses of love and compassion by loving others generously. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.